I bring you greetings from the Lord's Baptist Church in Tacoma, Washington. And I'm so thankful to be here. Has God spoken to your heart in this conference? Have you felt the presence of the Lord here? Me too. I'm so thankful to be here. I just want to be a blessing. Every time I come here, this church blesses me so much. I just want to be a blessing, and you guys always bless me more. It's so good. It's so good. Yeah, we did have a little bit of trouble getting here Tuesday night when my head hit the pillow about 4:30 in the morning, actually Wednesday morning. I had 4 hours and 15 minutes of the best sleep I've ever had in my life. And then I was awakened by the girlish chatter and giggling out in the hallway. And I don't know which two preachers it was. But that's all right. I got here a little bit late, but I'll tell you. I'll hear those first two messages. When I get home, I understand they're on the web already. So praise God for that. And so I'm looking forward to hearing those two messages too. Several have told me that you're praying for me tonight, and I really do appreciate that, because I know that God answers your prayers. He did it several times Tuesday night on the way down here, driving down from Chicago after the flights were all canceled. This is always the hardest part of the conference, the first introductory remarks, but I've said greetings from Tacoma, right? So let's go ahead and get into the Word of God, and maybe things will go better. Turn with me in the Scriptures to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, and I'm looking at the clock, and so if I'm just a little bit after 8, I'll try to be done by then, okay? Reading from God's Word in the book of Acts, chapter 8, starting at verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father and our God, we come before thy throne of grace once again in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I just pray, God, help me tonight to be a blessing to these people. I pray that as I stand before the congregation this evening, that the Word of God would illuminate, and that you would speak through me. I pray, Father, that I would be hindered from saying anything that would be wrong or in error in any way. And I just pray that you would bless your Word as it goes forth this evening in a mighty and a powerful way. God, we're living in the last days. We look around and we've heard sermons on it. And Father, surely these are the very last of the last days. And I pray, Father, that if there's any here tonight who are still yet out of the safety of Jesus Christ, oh God, show them the perilous condition that they're in. Reveal to them their need of a Savior. And show them Christ, oh God, in a saving way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you might have already guessed what my subject's going to be, but there's a lot in this passage of Scripture that we could take and use as a theme in the message. Of course, I love the 5 points of the doctrine of God's sovereign grace, and one of my favorite things in the Bible is the topic of the local New Testament congregation and the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love to hear messages on that, and I love to preach on that. The law of God is greatly needed. I wore a tie down here with the Ten Commandments on. I got several comments on the way down here from Seattle about my tie. The law does need to be preached, and it's a worthy topic to be preached on. Same with the attributes of God. People are so ignorant of who our God really is. We need to preach more on the divine attributes of the God of the Bible. That's all good preaching. And of course, the most important message that anybody could preach would be the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we didn't preach any other thing, and I think one preacher said that, if we don't preach anything else, at least preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you tonight there would be no gospel if it was not for my Jesus. And so the message tonight is preach Jesus. Preach Jesus. And so Jesus believed that. He urged us to. There's this passage of Scripture in John, the third chapter, and verses 14 and 15, where Jesus is speaking there, and he says, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We need to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to lift him up. And we need to show him to the world. Look what we've done to the King of glory. Here he is upon this cross. Look what we've done. We need to preach Jesus Christ. Our sinners won't be saved. There's no gospel without Jesus Christ. We need to lift him up like Moses. He took that serpent and lifted up, and everybody in the camp that was bitten by the vipers of sin, they had to look if they wanted to live. They had to look and live. They had to look by faith to that serpent lifted up on the pole there. And it's the same way today. That's what Jesus is talking about here in John the third chapter. We need to lift up our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and say, look and live. Look to Jesus. Listen, I know in a crowd this large, There's undoubtedly some here tonight that have never been settled on their eternal destiny. I have friends here, Christian friends who have children that they're praying for, that they want to see them saved. Listen, Jesus is what saves. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful? I was praying this afternoon. After all of the trials and tribulations of getting down here, wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord saved a sinner in this conference? I don't know how many conferences have you been to lately that had somebody come and profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For me, it's been a while. I'd love to see a sinner come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, Christian friends, we can talk all we want to about that, and it sounds good. But if we don't lift up Jesus, they're not going to be saved. We need to point them to the lifted up Lord Jesus Christ and say, look to Him. Look by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have 5 points in the message, and we'll cover them, and it won't take that long to get on each one. But listen, the first one is probably the most important. And if you're one that is here tonight that is unsettled about your salvation, pay special attention to this first one. And I hope and I pray that you'll dwell on it no matter what else I say after this. Listen. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, nothing I say after this first point is going to matter anyway. This is the most important point of the whole message, right out of the gate. Look to Jesus. He is the one and only Savior. You say, how come you guys are always harping about Jesus? Because He's the only way of salvation. That's why we preach Jesus. First of all, Jesus is the only way to be saved. There is no other way. You know the scriptures already. John, what, the 14th chapter? I was pretty close to that a moment ago. Let me turn there and read it. John 14. Jesus again is the speaker. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, dear unsaved soul, listen to me tonight. It's so important that you know Jesus, my Jesus. He's the Savior. He's the only Savior. You're lost in sin and you need a Savior from your sin. And the only way to be saved from your sin is to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Look to Him tonight. Look by faith to Jesus. And I hope and pray that right now God would give you the grace that you need to repent of your sins and by faith trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then you can endure the rest of the 4 points of the message. And when the invitation has come, you can come down here and let everybody else know about it. I hope and pray that God would work that in your heart tonight. In John the 6th chapter, John chapter 6 and verse 35 through 40 there. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Are you hungry? Are you spiritually? Are you hungry tonight? The only one that can satisfy your soul is Jesus. That's why my message tonight is Jesus and Him alone. I'm preaching Jesus to you, and I hope and pray that somehow, some way, the Holy Spirit of God would bring Jesus into your heart. Trust Him tonight. He is the bread of life. You're starving to death. You're already dead. You'll never live until you taste of the bread of life. Look to Jesus. He is the bread of life. He that cometh to me, Jesus said, shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But he said, but I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Now he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees here. Listen, he says, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. I hope that's you tonight, lost sinner friend. I hope that's you. Oh, Jesus promised. I know we're living in the last days and time's getting short, but there's still time. Like one brother said, as long as you're still breathing, there's still hope. Other than that, there's no guarantees. Oh, come to Jesus. He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You see, that was one of my problems. Just before the Lord saved me, I was telling the preacher, I'm too bad to be saved. I can understand why the Lord would save them other boys over there, but not me. There's no way He would save me. I'm just too wicked. And the preacher said, well, if I could show you from the Bible that the Lord was willing to save you, would you trust Jesus as your Savior? And right there, the Holy Spirit came into my heart, and I was saved by the grace of God. I didn't know at the time, but you know what it was? It was the sovereign grace of God. The sovereign grace of God blasted me out of the kingdom of darkness right into the kingdom of light. And I was a child of God, and I'll always be one forevermore. Why? Jesus. All because of Jesus. Jesus is the only way of salvation. You taste of Him, He's the bread of life, and He'll fill your soul. He says in verse 38, I came not down from heaven. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will that sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last, raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. I tell you, there's full assurance with Jesus. He's the only way of salvation. Why? That's why we preach Him so much. You can't be saved without Jesus. He's the only way. He's the bread of life. He's the light of the world, according to John 8:12. He's the door for the sheep, according to John 10:7. He's the good shepherd for the sheep, according to John 10:11. He is the resurrection. You say, I don't understand all of this stuff about the resurrection. All you have to understand is that Jesus is the resurrection. Just look to Jesus. Just look to Jesus tonight, my friend. Trust Him as your personal Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. For salvation, we must preach Jesus. Sometimes you wonder, you know, I've wondered, why aren't we seeing more souls saved? Well, maybe we're just not preaching enough Jesus. We need to get back to the business of preaching Jesus. He's the Savior. Maybe if we preach more Jesus, we'd see more souls saved. What do you think? He's the only way for salvation. When it comes to salvation, and this is probably the most important issue for you in the whole world, when it comes to the issue of salvation, you must know Jesus. We must preach Jesus. That's why we harp on the name of Jesus so much, because He's the only way. Well, we must move on. Secondly, when it comes to preaching Jesus, Jesus had the only right kind of baptism. Now we could go and we could turn to Matthew the 3rd chapter, and we have a beautiful account there in Matthew the 3rd chapter about when Jesus was baptized. He was baptized by the only man on earth at that time who had authority from heaven. Brother, that's the right kind. You need that kind of baptism. The kind of baptism that has heavenly authority. And Jesus went to the man that God sent with heavenly authority to baptize. And that's the way, when it comes to baptism, what do we preach? We have to preach Jesus. When it comes to baptism, you want to know what baptism is? Look to Jesus. Look what He did. You want the right kind of baptism? Get the kind of baptism that Jesus had. Matthew the 3rd. I was talking and not turning there. Some of you might already be there to Matthew the 3rd chapter. let me turn there real quick. Just a few verses. Matthew chapter 3. Here it is. No, that's Malachi. Tithing's important too, but we're preaching Jesus. Well, all right. Jesus, the right kind of baptism. Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17. I'll get it right. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, and by the way, that's not a real word. Did you know that? Baptized, that's not a real word. It's a made up word. In the Textus Receptus, it's the word baptizo, and when some of the church fathers in England decided to translate the Greek Bible into the English Bible, they came to this word, and the king says, no, don't say immerse, because that's what baptizo means. Immerse. They said, instead of saying immerse, just say, I'll tell you what, just transliterate baptizo, and just we'll just call it baptism. And that's how that word came into existence. It's not a real word. Actually, what it says, and Jesus, when he was immersed, went up straightway out of the water, and doesn't that make sense? Went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Wow! That's the kind of baptism we need. The kind that God says, well, do what my Son did. I'm well pleased. I am well pleased with what my Son has done here today. I mean, we have the triune God manifested here at the immersion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove. God spoke from heaven in an audible voice saying, I'm well pleased. And the Son of God is there being immersed by the only man on earth who had heavenly authority to immerse him. That's what we need. I tell you, when we preach baptism, and it only comes after salvation, that's why I put it after salvation. When we preach it, to make it simple, it's Jesus. You got to preach Jesus. If you have someone who has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they know that they're saved by the grace of God, and they want to live for Him, and they want to serve Him, the first thing they have to do is follow Him
in what we call scriptural baptism. We shouldn't have to call it that. They need to follow the Lord and be immersed with heavenly authority. Now, I could get sidetracked and chase some rabbits on that one, but I'm going to let it go for right now. But that's what it means to be scripturally baptized. You have to get the kind of baptism that Jesus had. So when we preach salvation, it must be Jesus. When we preach baptism, it must be Jesus. It's that simple. We started off in the book of Acts. I'm going to go back there for a minute. In Acts chapter 8 again. A little bit farther down in that same chapter, actually, there's a place where it talks about baptism, and there was Philip was dealing with, you remember, Philip was dealing with this man, and he preached Jesus to him. He preached Jesus to him. The man was saved because he got Jesus preached to him. Guess what? You know what else happened to that man that day? Yeah, he got, somebody said it. He got baptized, or he got immersed. But what's that all about? Well, it doesn't give us a whole lot of details here, but to sum it up, Philip preached Jesus to him. And so he was saved the Jesus way. He was baptized the Jesus way. That's it in a nutshell. In Acts chapter 8, and let's see, verses 35 through 38. Yeah. Then Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" So yeah, we don't know what all Philip preached to this guy, but we know that he preached Jesus to him. And he preached enough Jesus to him to where he was saved. And he wanted to get baptized or immersed the way Jesus was. He said, "What does hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest..." Yeah, didn't I already make that point? Baptism comes after salvation. You got to be a believer first. "If thou believest..." Somebody said there's a lot of ifs in the Bible, and sometimes we skip over them. Here's another one. "If thou believest..." Thou may. What does hinder me to be immersed with the kind of immersion that Jesus had? First of all, if you believe, you can. "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "Oh, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Well, it looks to me like he even got a little bit of the deity of Christ preached to him that day. "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." He got Jesus' salvation. He got Jesus' baptism. He got Jesus' theology all down the line, brothers. That's what he got that day. That's why it's so important for us not to get sidetracked on our favorite little hobby horse and preach Jesus. Always come back to Jesus. If you want to dabble around with your favorite little prophecy innuendos and all of that, that's fine with me. I've got my favorite church scriptures that I love to preach on too. But oh, God help us to always come back to the central theme of the book. And that's Jesus in one word. God help us to do that. Let's be faithful to preach Jesus as the way of salvation, the only right kind of baptism. Because when it comes to baptism, we must preach Jesus. And then thirdly, we see that when it comes to preaching Jesus, we must preach that Jesus built His congregation during His earthly ministry. And of course, we always go to our favorite scripture there in Matthew 16 verses 16 through 18, especially verse 18, there where Jesus is talking to the apostle Peter, and now he says, Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Oh, blessed art thou, Simon by Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way of salvation. He's the only way to be scripturally baptized. The only way is through Jesus. And when he was here on this earth, he said here in Matthew 16, "I will build upon this rock, I will build my ecclesia," which is actually a congregation, a local visible assembly of baptized believers that was fitly framed, that's properly put together for the purpose of doing the will of Christ on this earth, summed up in the Great Commission. And Jesus said, "I will build my congregation." That's another made-up word, the church. It's another made-up word. It is. In fact, they slaughtered church worse than they did baptism. Because at least baptism is a transliteration of baptizo. When it came to ecclesia, they threw ecclesia totally to the wind and said, "No, let's put in kuriakos. Let's the Lord's." Church is a transliteration, an English transliteration of the word kuriakos, for the word Lord's. It's not even a translation, not even a transliteration of ecclesia. Why did they do that? Because the king ordered it. And in the early editions of our Bibles, they were honest enough to say that in the front of the book. Some of the later editions leave that out. I'll tell you, it's caused a great problem in Christendom. It really has. But I digress. So, Jesus built his congregation, a local visible assembly of scripturally immersed believers, banded together, fitly framed. That's better, that's scriptural terminology. They were fitly framed, properly put together, for the purpose of doing the will of Christ. What was that? Sum it up in the three-point mission statement in Matthew 28. Sum it up right there. So when it comes to preaching the church, what do we have to preach? Jesus. Not the Pope. Not the Reformers. Not any of the other Johnny-come-latelys in Christendom. Not the Pentecostal movement, the charismatic movement. Not any of the false cults that have sprung up in the last couple of hundred years. Not the Mormons, not the Moonies, not the JWs, not the Watchtower Society. Not Mary Baker Eddy or any of these other Johnny-come-latelys or Susie-come-latelys. None of them will work when it comes to the church. If you're going to preach the truth regarding the church, you know what you have to preach, right? Have you figured that out yet? It's Jesus. You have to preach Jesus. It's only His church that matters. There are three main tests of a true New Testament congregation. And I'm trying to train myself to say congregation, because it's a more scriptural word. There are three New Testament tests for a New Testament congregation. A is the doctrinal test. Well, there's a lot involved in that, but let's sum it up. Let's make it easy. Let's just pick two. The right way of salvation and the right way of baptism. I've already preached them, so I'm not going to preach them again. That's a good start right there. I know there's a lot of other doctrines, and not doctrines. I stand corrected. My Sunday school teacher is still trying to train me on this one. But we don't preach doctrines. Devils and demons and men preach doctrines. Whenever we find the truth of God spoken of in the Word of God, it's always in the singular. The doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of God. Every time you read the doctrines in plural, it's the doctrines of demons. It's the doctrines of men. So I'm training myself. I'm still, obviously I blew it again tonight. And Brother Turner is probably going to hear this message and ring me for it. But that's, see, it takes a while. And I'm starting all over now with congregation and immersion. But Lord, help me. You pray for me. And I thank you for your prayers, because like I said, I know God answers your prayers. He woke me up 3 or 4 times Tuesday night as the car was going off the road coming here. So thank you for praying for me. And so many, if I didn't tell you thank you when you told me you did, I thank you now. But anyway, so for salvation, what do we preach? Jesus. For baptism, what do we preach? Jesus. For church truth, what do we preach? Jesus. You got to be in the kind of church that Jesus organized during his earthly ministry. Not some outfit that evolved out of a bunch of fellows that went haywire. They left the Baptists, and the Baptists unfortunately, regrettably, had to disfellowship with them. And ever since then, that movement evolved into probably the most popular denomination in Christendom today, and the most ungodly. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's the Catholics. I'll just go ahead and say it so you don't have to come in after and ask. I don't want to have to say it, 200 times, whatever. So that's, I'll say that. But yeah, church truth is Jesus all the way down the line. The doctrinal test is the right way of baptism, the right way of salvation, first of all, and the right way of baptism. Then you've got the historical test. The authority of Jesus is spiritually maintained by lineage from one congregation to another. And we've got a lot of brethren, even among our ranks, who are getting away from that landmark. And shame on them for doing that. May God work repentance in the heart and bring them back to the truth. One brother, a dear, dear brother I love in the Lord. He was my roommate at another conference that I went to in West Virginia years ago. Oh, and he wrote me an email one day, and he said, if I get to the place to where I believe it's not really church authority anymore, would that mess up our fellowship in any way? And I says, yes. I had to tell him, yes. I can't, if he doesn't believe in the church, if he doesn't preach Jesus and the church that Jesus built, I love him as a brother. I love him, Lord. I hate to see him go that way, but if he must go, then go. But our fellowship, yeah, that our fellowship is going to be strained. I've had him preach in my pulpit there, but not anymore. Not since then. I can't in good conscience do that. So there's the doctrinal test, the historical test, and usually that's all you need. But I was reading in Revelation one day, and I came up with a third one, because Jesus showed it to me, and he was talking to one of his local, visible congregations that was fitly framed for the purpose of doing his will in the Great Commission. And he said, I kind of paraphrase it, but he says, I've got something against you. You're doing all these things good, but there's something wrong here. He says, you have left your first love. Who is our first love? So the third test, and maybe this is even more important. I can't be. Could it? No. Equally important, maybe, as doctrine and history. But oh, I don't ever want to leave it out anymore. I preached for probably 30 years and I left this one out. The Lord just showed it to me not too long ago. It's love. The love test. And that's what I'm trying to tell you about tonight. We need to love the Lord. We need to put Jesus first. When it comes to salvation, we have to preach Jesus. When it comes to baptism or immersion, we have to preach Jesus. When it comes to the congregation, the New Testament kind of congregation, the Jesus kind, we have to preach Jesus. And the tests are doctrinally right, historically right, and right in the heart. Right with the Lord. Well, okay, number 4. Okay, gotta hurry. Jesus must be seen in the life of the believer. Now, there's been, well, I probably don't even have to preach on this point because it's been hammered away so good in this conference already. God's people need to be a spitting image of the Lord Jesus Christ. When people look to us, your friends, your loved ones, your neighbors, they ought to be able to say, now, that's what Jesus would do. That's what Jesus would say. That's how Jesus would react to that person. Let that be our testimony in our daily lives as blood-bought, born-again believers that have been scripturally immersed with heavenly authority into a true New Testament congregation. Let our testimony be Jesus. Let our lives magnify our blessed Savior, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. When it comes to witnessing, there's different ways to witness. You probably don't realize this because something happens when I get in the pulpit. I get real animated and excited and all of that, but usually I'm very, very quiet. I don't like to talk. I'm not a good conversationalist or anything like that. But I'll be glad to hand out tracts and things like that. But when it comes to talking to people one-on-one, I'm not good at that. But I hope and I pray that my life as a man of God is a witness to my friends and loved ones around me, so that when they finally begin to think about spiritual things and it finally begins to dawn on them that Jesus is the way, that they would say, "Oh, I know a man who knows Jesus," and they would think of me. Let our lives be the kind of lives that Jesus would live. Jesus must be seen in the life of the believer. Well, you know the old saying, I hear what you're saying, but what you're doing speaks louder. Well, God help us to let Jesus be seen in our lives as believers. Listen, I've got several scriptures here, but I'm going to kind of pass over. This has been you know this. Those of you that are here and saved, and most of you are, I think you are. I hope you are. If you're not, then boy, go back to point one. But Jesus must be seen in the life of the believer. And time's about up, so I'm going to rush on to the last point. And that has to do with the end times, and a lot of people like that. It's amazing to me. You can talk about almost anything in the world. In the Bible, and people say, "Oh, that's very interesting." Yeah. But you start talking about the fact that we are living in the last days, and that Jesus Christ is actually going to come back. He said he was going to do that, and after all, anybody that said he's going to get up alive after 3 days and 3 nights being dead and does it. There's some credibility there. Well, he said, that same Jesus said he's coming back again. So when you start talking about that, people seem to get interested for some reason about the coming of the Lord. And I know there's all kinds of schools of thought in eschatology. I don't care. Guess what? Guess what the most important thing in eschatology is? You know? That's right. It's Jesus. Jesus is coming again. Say it with me. Jesus is coming again. I can't hear you. Jesus is coming again. That's it. That's eschatology. That's it right there. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming back. And I know that there's a lot of scripture. I've read the book a couple of times, maybe even more than that. I have, I confess. But and the end of the book, boy, sometimes I get in there and say, "Woo, two witnesses, 144,000, a great multitude before the throne saying, praise God. And, oh, a book being opened with seven seals and seven trumpets, and seven vials pouring out. Oh, I love it. I love it. Because you know what the book of Revelation is all about in one word? Jesus. Well, that's why they call it the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. It's Jesus. And I know, yeah, the man of sin is going to come and all of that. You know, and the Antichrist and the false prophet. And oh boy, the mark of the beast. And oh, it's going to be terrible times. Hailstones falling. And oh man, the rivers and the waters turning to blood. And ay, 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 ay. But you know what? Jesus is coming again. And I believe, even though, I don't, some say that that's already happened, but I'm not even going to go there. But he's coming again, and he could come before, listen, lost friend, if you've been paying attention at all, I want you to hear this. I told you when I was preaching on point one, wait till the invitation. Bad advice. Because Jesus could come before the invitation gets here. Could. He really could. So right where you are, right now. Right now. Don't wait. Don't wait. Right now. If you're unsettled about your eternal destiny, if you want to know for sure if you're saved, look to Jesus right now and say, yes, yes, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell. But Lord, if you'll save me, I want you to be my Savior. And trust Him by faith right now. And at the invitation, if we last that long, you can come and let everybody else know about it. Because he really could. One time I was thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful to be preaching Jesus and have him come? Wow. Wouldn't that be wonderful? All of a sudden I'm preaching away. You must preach Jesus. Brethren, preach Jesus. Oh, if you want to be baptized, get the Jesus kind of baptism. If you want to be in the right kind of church, get in the church that Jesus built. And on down the line, and all of a sudden, ta-da, ta-da! I don't know what the trumpet's going to sound like, but I'll hear it. And I'll take off. I'll be gone. And a lot of other people, I'd like to think that almost everybody here would go with me. But what if that happened? What if all of a sudden old brother Larry, where'd he go? And you look around and your mom and your dad are gone too. And some of the other family members are gone. And there you are. What's that mean? It means you waited a little bit too late. He's coming. He's coming back at any moment. Oh, don't wait, my friend. If you're here, come. By faith, come to Jesus. Look to Him and trust Him as your personal Savior. Have you heard about Him? Have you heard about Jesus? Are you ready for His return? Regarding salvation, Jesus is the only remedy for your sins. See, that's what makes Christianity different from every other religion in the world. We have the only remedy for sin. Every other religion, you know, they've got their good points. They, you know, there's nothing wrong with living a good moral life, and there's a lot of good moral people in other religions, but they don't have a remedy for the sins. We do. You know what it is? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Regarding baptism, Jesus had the only kind that is acceptable to God. Let that sink in. If you're saved and you want the kind of immersion or baptism, as they call it popularly, if you want the right kind of baptism after you're saved, get the Jesus kind.
And like I said, Jesus founded his local congregation during his earthly ministry. He promised perpetuity to it. In other words, he said, I'll be with you to the end. Oh, that's comforting words. I'm so thankful for that. Because I believe we're real close to the end. But he's still with his people. He's still with his congregations. Thank God for that. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I knew how to preach him in a way that would break your heart. If you're here and you're unsaved, I pray that you would not only be unsaved, that you would realize that you're lost. Because guess what? The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, God help us to preach Jesus every step of the way. Trust him tonight. Believe on him tonight. Follow him tonight. Dedicate your life to him. Consecrate yourself to Jesus tonight, because he's coming soon. That's the message.